Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, Genesis. We are tuned to Radio Islam International. You are attuned and lovely evening. Alhamdulillah, it is today through the fadl and the karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Raining for the last 20 minutes or so. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala send us beneficial rain. Allahumma sayyiman nafi'an. Alright, we'd like to welcome our guests. Tonight we have we have Adil Mia in the studios tonight live, inshallah. We'd like to welcome him on the program. Adil, my brother, we welcome you once again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Adil.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Malana, and to all our listeners. Jimana, it's been a long time. I see you even not even used to calling my name anymore. You used to call him Abdul Abdullah, mashallah. Jimana, yeah, we've been meeting a lot of people out there, and all asking what's happening. You guys no more coming on the program. Jeez. But inshallah, now we'll try to make an effort and get the program going again, inshallah. But there must be a lot of questions out there, people needing to know about the motor vehicles. A lot of things been happening, a lot of exciting things, a lot of scary things also. Inshallah, Allah make easy, we can answer the questions correctly.
Ameen. Jazakum Allah for that. Yes, Adil has not been with us for the last, I think, three programs, but mashallah, he's back with us tonight. Joining us telephonically on the line tonight is Abdul Haqq Chada. Abdul Haqq, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to our special guest, Brother Adil. And also to our listeners out there, Jazakum Allah, Adil, for trying to make a plan there. Alhamdulillah, you managed to get in the studio. I'm sure you don't need me. I can just chill out here at home. But inshallah, let's see what we can do for the people out there.
Jazakumullah.
Jazakumullah.
Abdul Haq, let's start up with you, my brother. The question, first question coming through, the brother wants to know regarding the ball joints. What is the function of the ball joint? And the brother says, what happens if the ball joints, has to break?
Gee. All right. Function of the ball joint, Marana, very, very simple, straightforward. It's a ball socket joint. What happens is it's almost a ball in a sort of a socket that allows for rotation and freedom of movement, but without disconnecting any component. That would be used on your steering, on your lower control arms, especially in the front suspension, where your steering rack and your rack ends are connected to. That allows for the steering of the vehicle. If there is any play on those vehicles, on those components whatsoever, or any sort of noise, but actually they should be checked on every service anyways. But if you pick up any report from the mechanic regarding a worn ball joint or something like that, it's very, very important that you have it replaced immediately. This is something you wouldn't want to play with, because if a ball joint does come off, especially on your tie rod ends or something like that, you will actually, if your vehicle you steer it to the right, it could turn, go to the left, and one wheel face the left, one wheel face the right. So it is very, very important that ball joints are regularly checked. The dust covers, if they are broken, should be replaced, checked for excessive wear and play and things like that. So it's very, very important that we do replace that. Is there any fault with that whatsoever?
Right, JazakAllah. We have a call on the line number one. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to my brother.
Assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Am I on
there? Ji, you are on
air, my brother. Okay, JazakAllah khair for the call as well. I got two questions, I hope you guys will mind. The first one is, when you drive in the car and when you go over bumps, the front wheel basically they make like a sound.
Like a thug.
Like a clink clink sound.
Clink sound.
Something like that.
Okay.
Basically, it only does it when you go over a speed bump or when you go over bumps. When a road is a bit rough, there's a bit of a noise in the front of the wheels.
Nobody's overweight in the car. Eh?
Huh?
I said nobody's overweight in the car.
No, man.
Okay.
The engine is very heavy, so. Okay, but anyway, okay. And then another question is there a way to check? Timing belt. Not the timing belt. The cam belt of a car, instead of opening the engine or something, because we're not sure when. It's an alpha, but I'm not sure when. It's gonna cost me money for them to open it and everything. But is there a way to check if the cam belt is going, or is like maybe there's a certain noise you need to hear on the engine?
What alpha is it, brother?
It's 156 12 spark.
Each spark. Okay.
99 model.
Hafiz Abdullah, you wanna go or must I go?
Whatever you say, brother, I'm ready for anything.
Gee, the brother's name?
Shehzad.
Gee, what Hafiz Abdullah spoke about earlier on about the ball joints, that could be one of your culprits, causing the clicking noise when going over the bump. There could be a lot of components that can cause that noise. So what you'll have to do is take it to your technician, or you can even take it to one of the exhaust shops. They can put up on the hoist, and they can check your components and your suspension. So they'll basically check what Hafiz Abdullah spoke about earlier, all the ball joints, the tie rods, the red ends, the shocks, the control arms, the control arm bushes, things like that. So that will solve your problem on that question. The next question on Alpha 156 T-Spark is going to be a bit difficult to check the cam belt, but rather go with the motor manufacturer specification. I think on that Alpha, you've got to check the cam. Most of the motor manufacturers is about 100,000. So if you've got more than 100,000 and it hasn't been done, it will be advisable that you have it inspected. Rather pay the extra money to have it checked, and if it needs to be replaced, replace it.
Those thyroid ends and ball joints and all those things, rack ends, are they for safety features? Can you drive it?
No, you see, if you're hearing the clicking noise when going over the bump, that means it's a sign to tell you that something needs to be checked underneath the car, because
it's not dangerous to drive it, like, for a while. We don't want to drive it till it's finished.
No, don't do that. It's advisable rather to have it checked out, because, you know, rather be safe than sorry. And like I've had a little accept, you got ball joint brakes, you can cause some serious problems.
The reason I'm saying, because it's a bit expensive to, I think it's expensive. So, if I don't drive fast, is it okay? Can I drive it for a while?
You see, rather than be on the safe side, is better off driving fast or slow. If the ball joint is going to break, it's going to break. Yeah. Whether you're driving slow, you're driving fast. In all conditions of our roads today also, it's not very on the good side. So if you hit a pothole or hit the pavement very hard, immediately it will break. And then you've got your family with you, you're just going to have extra issues. So basically, you have it checked, and at least you've got peace of mind that the technician can tell you, right, this is dangerous or it's not dangerous. You can have a basic idea. What's happening?
Alright, if you want to save money, my brother, just take your belt out and tie it out.
I just wanted to add something on the ball joints. I did mention it, but just to reiterate, it is imperative that you replace it ASAP. Don't even think about driving the car. If you don't have the money, park the car off and buy it, and then do it. As far as the cam belts are concerned, I've just been with a major motor manufacturer in this week on the phone. And the cam belt has now some of them got 120,000 as well, but it's now, they've added a new bulletin on that. If you don't make the 120,000 kilometers or 100,000 kilometers in 4 years, then you still have to replace the cam belt every 4 years. So they've now added the time as well on there.
Okay, Jazakumullah. Brother Adi, the Mercedes-Benz, the brother says the engine has got some hesitation, it's got a rough idle as well, and a bit of a hard start. The brother was told that one of the sensors is clogged with the dirt and oil. Could it be one of the sensors? He's talking about the faulty mass airflow sensor.
Musa, we didn't mention what Mercedes is.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Doesn't say
okay.
No.
See, Musa, that question can be answered in a lot of ways, because there can be a lot of issues concerning that factor.
Yeah.
But the main issue, like you pointed out, the MS meter sensor can be one of the culprits. It will cause all the symptoms you gave now, the heart starting, the sluggishness, the hesitation and pull away. So that is one of the main culprits on those cars. The MS sensor quickly, it volumes the air coming into the engine. So basically the sensor measures the amount of air coming into the engine and supplies it to the control unit, and to tell the control unit, give the message to the spark and into the injector how much fuel to supply to the engine. So that is the main culprit. Normally, 90% of the time, it is your problem.
Okay. Adil, the brother, wants to buy a C240. And I was going to ask you as well regarding the C240. I've seen one yesterday, 2002 model. Are these cars heavy on petrol?
They are about heavy on petrol on the...
Compared to the C220.
Compared to the C220, it's lighter than the C220.
Oh.
The C240, the urban cycle... is a bit heavier than the rural cycle. So basically, if you're going on a long journey, it's excellent fuel consumption. You can actually get 10 to 11 kilometers per the liter. The heaviness comes in when you're driving the local short distance drifts. You can average about 7 or 8 kilometers to the liter. But generally, a good motor car, nice and powerful, very well matched to the body side of the car. The only issue with those cars, the main issue, is a sludge in the engine. As long as the oil changes have been done regularly, there's no real issues with that engine. They're good engines.
All right. Jazakumullah. The brother says he was offered 40,000 rand. Somebody, when he wants to buy the car, he was told 40,000 rand, 2002 model. I think it's a definite buy, my brother.
It's a
definite buy, G. All right, we're going further, inshallah. Number to call for the program, 011-854-1548. The SMS number is 48855 and alternately 0825-8080-70. 0825-8080-70. We're waiting for the calls as well as the SMSs. The question coming through Abdul Haq, the brother says, regarding He's got a Toyota Corolla. The aircon system works sometimes and doesn't work. It's a 160i GLE 2000 model Corolla. What could be the problem?
Is the air conditioning working intermittently?
Yeah.
Gee. Well, there's a couple of possible causes on something like that. You know, also if the gas levels are low, you know, intermittently it could be. But most of the time, if the gas level is low, the air conditioner might not work at all, or it might just not cool enough. The other thing is, obviously, you've got a sensor on your compressor. If your compressor or the gas in the system reaches certain heat, I'm sure there's an auto switch off on those particular vehicles. It would not allow the air conditioning system to work as well. You know, it could be a loose connection. Maybe if you're going over a bump or something like that, that could affect it as well. The switch on the instrument cluster or on the dashboard in the center console has also been on I wouldn't say on the faulty side, but I've had a good few of them that actually you know, they say when they went over a bump, the air conditioning suddenly stopped working. So there's also one of the possibilities that could affect the air conditioning system on that particular vehicle.
JazakAllah. We've gone further. The other question coming through, we have a call on the line. Do we have a caller? Right, no corner. Brother Adil, the brother says he's got a Toyota D4D, lovely cars. He was told the injectors need to be changed. What's he looking at? What sort of pricing are we looking at?
The D4D are the, like you say, good engines, good cars. You know, what really bothers me is in our country the quality of diesel, and it's very important for listeners out there driving the diesel vehicles, especially with the TDIs, you know, the turbo diesel injectors, you know, yeah. The common rail diesel injectors, CDIs also. Try and use a lower sulfur diesel, you know, because that will actually enhance the life of the injector. Coming back to the question, Jim, also, that's going to be a bit costly. To try and repair it, you know, look, nothing under 2,500 rand. Just to repair it, to replace the injector is of about 6,000 rand. So it's a bit of a costly issue on most of the common rail diesel injectors, because sure. The high pressure and the electronics built into the injector is at a high cost also. But I think it's ridiculously priced. The best way to do it is try and have the injector repaired, or even in the low, higher sulfur, use diesel additives. There's quite a few on the market which you can add to your tank every time you fill diesel. That will also enhance the life of the diesel injector.
The question coming through, Adil, the brother says, these questions are for you, my brother. Two questions for you. The one says, I would like to know how often do you need to change automatic gearbox oil on Mercedes-Benz W203 722.6. I don't know what's his ID number or what. And what engine oil should I use? M111 compressor engine G. Quite a bit of numbers here, Adil. His address or his ID number is mentioned.
The 7226 gearbox, yes, the ones further to the W203 series, the C-Class.
Oh.
It's a good gearbox. The question comes in, when should you change oil? Mercedes-Benz, their specification is a lifetime oil. I don't believe in that, because the oil needs to be changed, and I believe that religiously change it at 180,000 kilometers. Mercedes-Benz do the first oil change on those cars at 60,000 kilometers when the car on the motor plane. So basically you don't know about it, and if you don't ask, they change it. There is a specified time when it should change it. Most of them are changed at 60,000 kilometers, and thereafter they say it's a lifetime oil. But religiously, if you want the gearbox to perform better and you want it to outlast any other gearbox, change it every 120,000 after that. So at 180,000, it's about to come into that mileage. Advisable to have it checked. You can check the gearbox oil if it's looking sludgy and a bit blacky also. Have it changed. There's a filter in there. You can change the filter. Okay, the next question was a triple.
So M111 compressor engine. What engine oil should I use?
The M111 engine was the first engines put into those cars. The W203 model from 2001, where the car was launched, to 2002, 2003, they had the M111 engine. So they came in a C2, C1, C180, C200 111 engines. The good oils to use in there, you can use a fully synthetic oil. 5W40 is an excellent oil to use in a car. 10W40 can be used. Even the multi-grade oil, 20W40 or 50 can be used.
Right, JazakAllah. The other question the brothers got, it says on a 1988 BMW E3318i with 168 on the clock, how often and what oil should I use as the car is used short distances less than 3 kilometers, my brother? And how reliable are these cars? Just 3 kilos.
Yeah, 3 kilos a day, I think the car's going to last you a long time.
Yeah.
It's advisable that you change the oil every year on that car, so that means once a year you can change the oil and filter. you're not doing long distance, so it's not really necessary to go for a very expensive oil. You can use what I mentioned earlier, the 20W40 or 50 will be good enough for the car. You can use a mineral oil is also good, but advisable if you have the money, use a good synthetic oil. Will actually enhance the life of the engine. Talking of the importance of changing oil only on your car, there was a write-up not long ago. There was a guy in the States, in New York, with a Volvo P1800S, who reached 3.5 million miles with his Volvo.
Oh.
And he had the car from new, so you know, over 50 years he's got the car.
Sure.
And he's been to over 32 countries.
Yeah.
And they asked him, you know, what is the secret that the car lasts you so long? So he said, religiously, every 7,000 miles, he changed oil.
The oil.
So that's how important it is. Even if you're not going to change the plugs, all the listeners out there, just change your oil and filter. So if you basically, your budget struck, or you don't have enough funds for this month, even if you take your car once a year, change the oil and filter, you call me back after 10 years and said 100% the engine going to last so long.
Mm. I think, in fact, I met a brother who's got a 900,000 kilos on the Chiselle Corollas,
yes,
the 1988. The car was still looking beautiful. And I asked him, 900,000 kilos, did you change the dashboard, the odometer? He says never. What he says is every 10,000, 12,000 kilos, he has to just change the oil.
That's very important.
And the motor sounds so sweet. Yes. 900,000 kilos.
Yes.
Jazakallah. Yes, very important, change your oil. Abdul Haq, question coming through. The brother says, he's got a Ford, doesn't say what Ford here, but vibration and shuddering from the back wheels when turning from a stop. Feel it sometimes when taking off from a stop as well.
At the back wheels, Mulana?
Yeah, the back wheels.
That sounds unusual, but yeah. Took the main thing more than likely would be either the back wheels, brakes, you know, sort of binding that would create a bit of a shudder. The other thing would be if you have, you know, you've pulled off a little bit and you're sort of moving, you will find that if you've got a ridiculous bubble on the tire, you could get some sort of a wobbly vibration feeling. You know, the rear discs also, obviously that's when you're applying the brake, you could pick up a vibration from the back. Look, if it's a front wheel drive, obviously there is no mountings in the back. But then I would look at control arms. In the rear, you have control arms and things like that. You don't have a drive shaft in the back because if it's a front wheel drive. Unfortunately, if it is a bit more sort of what particular Ford it was, would have been much easier to answer the question there. And yeah, if it is a Ford Cougar, you would probably get the vibration from the thump when the fire starts.
All right, Jazakallah. The brother's got a Honda Civic 1999. Why is there no spark to the distributor, Adil?
1999 Civic, so there's no spark to the distributor. Those cars there, the distributor coil, everything was built into one. So basically what is gone there is the igniter unit in the distributor is probably the cause there. It was a common problem on those cars. We done a lot of them. So basically the igniter unit, this coil, the igniter unit, the whole distributor is all in one. So he's going to have to take the distributor out, have all the components tested. The number one culprit is the igniter unit, or the second one would be the coil also.
Right, lovely. Jazakumullah. The hard question coming through, the brother says he's got a RAV4, lovely little car to run around, but he's got a problem here with the steering. He says, when I turn the steering wheel max to the left, it doesn't come back to the center. The steering wheel stays in that position, and the car turns with jerks. However, if I turn the steering wheel to the right, then everything is normal, and it goes back to the center. What could be the problem? Toyota RAV4.
There's a possibility, first of all, obviously, you know, what we refer to is called an Ackerman's angle. The Ackerman's angle is, you know, where your wheels actually turn. You'll find that the one wheel should turn about 3 degrees more than the other wheel. And that is your Ackerman's angle. If, you know, that center point is actually going to be measured, if there is something wrong with the suspension, then obviously that angle comes out. The other thing also that could be there is, you know, either your control arms or your rack ends or your tie rods or your steering rack sticking on one side. You know, if your steering rack does stick on one side, that's also going to create a bit of an issue. Obviously, the other thing is on these vehicles, you have what we call a full lock stopper. If per chance the full lock stopper on the one side is fallen off, broken off, or damaged or something like that, then obviously that wheel is turning slightly more than it should be, which is obviously your Ackerman's angle. and that would create a bit of a problem as far as this is concerned. Suggestion there is first have a look, you know, take your vehicle in for a wheel alignment. Let them have a look at all your components at the same time and see if your stopper is in the correct position. If not, then obviously you've got to have a look at your stopper. But more than likely, if you do a wheel alignment and there's nothing wrong with your suspension components and stuff like that, then that should rectify the problem, your wheel alignment.
Jazakallah. The Honda Odyssey, Abdulhaq, maybe she'll ask you this question. You're a fully of these cars.
Yeah.
Honda Odyssey, you have one as well. Yeah. The brother says he's got a question about the transmission. When shifting from reverse to drive or driving to reverse, he hears a clicking noise. And also he says when it's cold, out shifting from park to reverse, there is a terrible jerk. Is this normal? Is it anything to worry about?
I wouldn't really stress myself over that, but yes. As Brother Adi was talking about the gearbox oils, you know, as far as the automatic transmissions are concerned, very, very important that, you know, you've got to use a, you've got to do a regular, I mean, I do mine at every 60,000 kilometers. Alhamdulillah, I've got, over 300,000 on my one. And every 60,000 kilometers, if you change the oil, use a good quality oil, and actually preferred on the Hondas themselves. I know it's a bit on the expensive side, but the gearbox oil that Honda does sell themselves, it's a fantastic oil, it's got a good life, and if you do that oil change on that regularly, I would suggest, the first step would be to replace the oil on that gearbox, make sure it's got enough or sufficient oil in the box, drive it thereafter, and if you still have that clicking sound and the thud in it, then I would suggest you look at your engine mountings, or sometimes, you find that there may be a bracket or something that's loose, and when you're actually shifting gears, that plate or that little bracket is loose, and that is creating that clicking sound as well.
All right, Jazakumullah. The question coming through, let's take this one. Yeah, it says that the Bucky idles low in gear and stalls out when accelerating. I don't know what to make out of this question, that my Bucky idles low in gear and stalls out when accelerating.
See, most of the, what I can think of, what the listener is asking, the Bucky must be an automatic, so basically when it puts a car in drive, the idling goes too low, and when it tries to pull away, cut the car off because idling is too low. So basically what he has to do is, if it's one of the later model engines, there is no way he's able to adjust the idling, so you have to find the culprit and see maybe one of the sensors of the culprit that causes the car to idle low. But if it's one of the older Buckys, he can adjust the idling a bit higher, and the car puts it into drive, and then the problem will be solved.
Alright, Jazakumullah. Abdulhaq question, my brother, it says that there's quite a bit of play, excessive play in the steering and the squeaks in the suspension following the installation of new shocks and wet weather. The brother says this happened 4 or 5 days ago. He put in new shocks, and what's happening is there's quite a bit of play in the steering wheel and quite a bit of squeaks in the suspension.
Yeah. One of the very, 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 very important questions prior to answering that question is, were there any squeaks before, or was there any play in the steering wheel itself before? All right. If, for example, there was no play in the steering wheel, for example, then once what has happened is maybe the shocks or the shock mounting themselves had the play on there. Then once that play is taken away, now the other play is being felt. That is maybe your ball joints, your tie rod ends, your rack ends. These are the other culprits that would create some sort of play in the steering. The other thing is also maybe I'm not due to sometimes I've had this on, especially when the front shocks are done, where you've got a McPherson strut. McPherson strut is a shock that's combined with a coil spring on it. Coil spring is actually mounted onto the shock. With the result, what happens sometimes is when mounting the shock itself, there is a rubber that goes below the spring, and if that is slightly offset or not, correctly aligned, then you could get some sort of sound from that. I would look at the steering problem on a individual basis, have a look at it and check, make sure that that is all sorted out there as well. The other thing is, I think Brother Ariel recalls very, very correctly, back in the day on the older Mercedes, if you put a certain name of shock or make of shock on the vehicle, that shock was slightly by millimeters smaller than the original shock. And once you put that on, automatically you get some sort of sound and noises on your suspension. So obviously the other thing is just make sure that the correct shocks were fitted and it was correctly fitted as well.
Alright, Jazakumullah. And we'd like to terminate the program and say Jazakallah to Hadil Miyam as well as Abdul Haq Abdul Miyam. Jazakallah, my brother.
Jazakallah, Monsab.
Concluding remarks.
Yeah, inshallah. Yeah, Jim Monsab, the concluding remarks, what I can say is the listeners should try and have more questions, you know, relating to motor cars, because at the end of the day, it's important to have your motor car in a roadworthy condition. And here we're doing it at a, you know, at a no charge rate. We can answer any question on as far as motor car. Even if you're buying a new car, you're buying a used car, call us up, we can advise you, inshallah. Like they say, you know, if you have mashwara, you won't have any regret.
Inshallah, Jazakallah. All the best, my brother. Safe driving. Mm-hmm. And Abdul Haq, Jazakallah, my brother. You resting at home.
Mm-hmm.
And you enjoy your supper, G.
I mean, Jazakallah, Morana. I wish you could join us, but yeah. To all the listeners out there, Jazakumullah khairan. We request special du'as. Have a wonderful weekend, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, your listeners, like we're talking about the wet weather, inshallah. You know, drive safely wherever you're going to be going. It's pouring out in the Malaysia area. I read the report some time ago that wet pavement contributes to nearly 1.2 million traffic crashes every year. So, inshallah, regarding this, make sure your wipers are working. Make sure your headlights, tail lights, brake lights, indicators are all working, inshallah. Keep us safe from a distance. And I did just one question here. Somebody said that, you know what, most modern cars feature these cruise control. So even if this feature works well in dry conditions, don't ever use cruise control in wet weather.
It's advisable, Musab, because you know it's been tested and improved, but in wet weather, 100% correct. Rather avoid using the cruise control, because you never know. Over, you know, if you start aquaplaning, the tires won't read properly the surface of the road, and then you can have a problem.
Inshallah, Jazakallah for that. 2 minutes to 8 o'clock. From myself, Muhammad Khan, a request for du'as. Have a lovely, wonderful weekend. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.